Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
Today I want us all to go together to Ephesians 3. Can we open that together? Ephesians chapter 3. And if you're taking notes, the title is Mystery Revealed. Two little words, Mystery Revealed. And you'll notice as we read this passage of Ephesians that the word mystery comes up a number of times. So I'm going to speak to you tonight about mystery. The butler did it. Mystery. Now, just while you're finding that, I answered some mysteries this morning. Trinity and I, Trinity is our six-year-old. We had a very interesting discussion because she's been doing safety week at school. She's in prep at school. And this week, all the prep at the school that she attends, they had this safety week where they invited a fire brigade, they invited ambulance, and they invited police. And so she was very, very excited, and she wanted to talk to me all about it this morning over breakfast. And so she asked me some pretty tough questions that are a mystery. The first question is, why did God make robbers? And I think, how do I answer this? How can I explain, how can I explain the doctrine of free will to a six-year-old? So I did my very best. And then there was another question. Why do they all wear black? And then the third question was, are there any girl robbers? Isn't that gorgeous? So anyway, we talked through all of those and hopefully I did a little better than when Gigi was about six and we were driving home, and Gigi might remember this, driving home from school one day, and she's sitting in the back of the car and she goes, Daddy, what is sex? And she's six. And I'm like, oh no, I was hoping this would wait for a few more years. I was thinking, please, not six. Anyway, I bumbled my way through the most ridiculous explanation that I possibly could, which I finished, ask your mother when you get home. To which she replied, oh, it's just at school they said my sex is female and I just wanted to know what sex was. The mysteries. Let's read about mysteries from Ephesians, shall we? For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Let's just stop there for a moment, because I just want to explain something. It's an interesting statement here. Paul is starting to talk. He's introducing a topic, and he calls it the administration of God's grace. Now, administration is something that we normally think of happening in a business. We have an administration as part of our church community. We have administrators. Judy on the front row here oversees our administration. And it's for the correct running of and the efficient running of something. And that's the meaning here as well. The Greek word was particularly used about the administration of a household. Hopefully all of us administrate or efficiently run our households. There's lots of things to do to administrate or correctly and efficiently run a household. There's shopping and cleaning and gardening and tidying and there's meal plans and all the different things that we have to do, washing, ironing, all of that kind of stuff for the efficient running of a household. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. And so God had given Paul the efficient running of the grace of God for the Ephesian church. I believe that same calling is upon us as the senior pastors of the church and also obviously upon our pastoral team, our board, our connect leaders, all of our leaders. One of the things that we are called to do is to make sure that we efficiently give out and make available God's grace to people. And that's by teaching the Word of God on grace. That's by walking graciously with one another, cutting each other a bit of slack when we let someone down, or when we fall in a heap, or whatever the case, when we have a need, we walk with grace. Part of Bayside Church is that we hopefully efficiently administer the grace of God to you. And that when you gather together as a group of believers, one of my goals for our gathering is that when we finished our gathering and we all go back home, that you feel better for having gathered. Because we tonight in worship and through the Word, we've been accessing the beautiful grace of God. We've been receiving forgiveness and blessing and healing and refreshing and all of the other things that we need from Him that are free gifts of His grace. We want to efficiently administer His grace. So let's read on with that background in mind. Verse 3. That is the mystery, and I want you to note every time it uses the word mystery, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's an amazing statement, the unsearchable. That word means past finding out, and the riches there refer to abundance. And so Paul is trying to preach the truth of Jesus, the abundance that there is in Christ that is actually past finding out. And that's why we as preachers and teachers sometimes struggle, because you read these things in the Word of God and yet Jesus is so much greater than any sermon that we could ever preach to describe who He is and what He's done. So take everything I say tonight and multiply it a few million times, okay? And then you get, so when we talk about grace, is the grace of God enough to cover every mistake and every sin? Yes, and so much more, okay? And that's what he's talking about. It's amazing. I love this. Verse 9, to make plain to everyone the administration or the efficient running of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold or the many-sided wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's the angelic realm. According to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Not like Adam and Eve in the garden, running away from God, but we may, because of the grace of God revealed in the mystery in Christ, we can approach God with confidence. We can approach God with freedom. Allow those truths to resonate in your heart and change your life. And so I've called this mystery revealed. Go back to verse 3 and leave your Bibles open if you would, because I'm just going to do a bit of explanation as we go through this message on what Paul is talking about in the mystery. Verse 3, he says, the mystery, and the word mystery that he uses about four times in this is the Greek word mysterion, which literally means to shut the mouth or to keep a secret. It's a mystery. In the Old Testament, they shut their mouths. They kept the secret. In fact, the Old Testament only gives you partial revelation. If all we had was the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament, we wouldn't know the end of the story. It'd be like that annoying experience that we have from time to time when you're watching your favorite TV show and you watch an episode and it gets to the climax and then those annoying three words are popped up on your screen. To be continued. How annoying is that? And now you know you've got to wait till next week before you can know what really happened, the answer to the mystery. It's like reading a novel and then finding the last two chapters of the book are not there. And that's what it would be like if we only had the Old Testament, because it's starting to introduce some things. It's talking about someone who's going to come one day, a Messiah, but not much information is given about him. But we know that things are going to get better and God's got a plan and purpose. But if it stopped at the end of Malachi chapter 4, you'd be going, oh, tell me the end of the story. Because in the Old Testament, it's a mystery. They shut their mouths. They kept it as a secret. And yet Paul says here in verse 3, the mystery made known by revelation. Now, the Greek word for revelation is apokalypsis. It's the word we get our word apocalypse from. And normally when you hear the word apocalypse used, it normally conjures up this kind of view of war or end times and 10-headed beasts crawling out of the sea and all sorts of stuff. That is not what apocalypse is all about. The word apocalypse or apokalypsis is the word revelation. It literally means to turn the light on. When Nathan was teaching around the offering tonight, he had the torch app on his iPhone, which is very, very handy, especially if you want to go to the loo in the middle of the night, isn't it? Did anyone else do it? No, don't give me a show of hands. But you have your iPhone next to your bed, and if you need to visit the toilet in the middle of the night, and the older you get, the more likely that is to happen, young people, things to look forward to. All right, iPhone, app. And I get to see, I turn the light on, because otherwise everything is dark and you don't know where. It's a mystery. You can walk into something. You can trip on something. You walk into a wall. You can think the door's open, but it isn't. Bang. Oh. But as soon as you put the light on, you can see clearly. And that's what apocalypse is all about. It's the lifting of a veil. It is a disclosure of knowledge. And then Paul tells us, what this mystery is in verse 4 and verse 5. At the end of verse 4, he says, the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed. The word revealed, apokalypto. So he's a little play on words here in the original language. There's a revelation that's been revealed. There's an apokalypsis that has been apokalyptoed. If I could put that into English, which it doesn't. The word revealed there means to take the cover off. And so this is what I want you to imagine, because this is the picture that Paul is trying to give us here. It's like when you walk into a house and there's something cooking. And as soon as you walk into the house, you can smell. Oh, that is so good. But you walk into the kitchen and there's a pan and there's a lid on the pan. So you can smell it, but you don't know really what it is. It's still a mystery. Bless you. Bless you again, right? Don't push your luck. And so you know that there's something cooking and it smells yummy, but you don't know what it is. But then if you go into the kitchen and you're allowed to take the lid off, the mystery is revealed. You go, ah, that's what's smelling so nice. Yum. Now, the Old Testament is like walking into the house and smelling the smell. You go, there's something good here. But it wasn't until Jesus came, the apocalypse, the revelation was revealed. The lid was taken off and suddenly everyone went, ah, that's the mystery that God had for us. His grace, his blessing, so many other things. Look at verse 9, where he explains more of this mystery. To make plain, the word make plain there means by shining a light on it. To everyone, the administration or the efficient running of this mystery, which for ages past, Old Testament times, was kept hidden in God who created all things. So God knew from the very beginning, like we looked at a couple of weeks ago, before the creation of the world, he'd already chosen you, he'd already predestined you to be adopted into his family. And right there as well, in all the ages past, God kept this hidden. It was hidden in God that one day all of this plan would be revealed. The lid would be taken off. Suddenly we would know what God had planned. Let me give you a list of four things that were mysteries that are revealed in the New Testament. I'll give you these very quickly. And they all start with I, just to keep it really simple for you. Number one is the mystery of immortality. The mystery of immortality. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 54. The mystery of immortality is that at the resurrection, all believers in Jesus will receive a new body that will live forever. That was a complete mystery in the Old Testament. Eternity is really not revealed there. You get a hint of the aroma from time to time, and then Jesus comes along with the resurrection, of course, and takes the lid off. And you go, oh, wow, look at that. We're going to have a body like Jesus' body one day. That's going to be so cool. I'm going to get my hair back. So exciting. Number two, the mystery of identity. The mystery of identity. Ephesians 5:32, we'll look at this in a few weeks' time. That is that believers in Jesus are one in spirit with him, like a husband and wife are one flesh. That's Ephesians 5. We're going to look at that part a little bit later in August. We're going to be doing a relationships series. So we're going to save that part of Ephesians until August. But the mystery of the husband and wife, when a marriage is consummated, the Bible says that man, that woman become one flesh. But Paul says, I'm only using this as an illustration to demonstrate the relationship that exists between Jesus and his church. We are one spirit with him. That was a mystery in Old Testament times, but God takes the lid off and we go, oh, wow, look at that. How amazing. We can be one spirit with the eternal God. Number three is the mystery of incarnation. The mystery of incarnation. The word incarnation just means with flesh or to put flesh on something. So we have chili con carne or chili in carne, which is chili with flesh. That's what that means. So Jesus is God con carne. And I'm not being disrespectful when I say that, but God con carne. Jesus is God with flesh. That's what the incarnation is all about. Carne. Okay, so the mystery of incarnation, that God's plan from the beginning was for him to become a human being in order to bring salvation to everybody. The whole letter to the Colossians addresses that, as does Paul in 1 Timothy 3:16. And so we've got the Father and we've got the human race, and there was no one to bring humanity back to the Father. And so God said, I'm going to be born as one of my creation so I can stretch my arms out and bring people back to myself. Hallelujah. The cross. And then number four is the mystery of inclusion. The mystery of inclusion. And that's what we're looking at here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9, chapter 3 verses 3 to 9. And Paul also addresses this in the book of Romans, that the Gentiles are now partakers with the Jews of the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. It's not just about the people of Israel. The people of Israel were meant to be were meant to dish this up for the rest of the world. And by and large, they have, because the whole plan was worked through Israel. And Jesus the Messiah was Jewish. And through him, his death and resurrection, all of humanity can be united to a God who loves them. Isn't that wonderful news? And so in Ephesians 3 and verse 6, it says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Look at that, Ephesians 3, 6. This mystery, he's telling us exactly what this mystery is here. It's the mystery of inclusion. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, Greek word is ethnos. We get our English word ethnic from this. And so this is not just talking about nations. This is talking about ethnic groups. There's 196 nations in the world, roughly. And there's over 5,000 ethnic groups. And so this mystery is that through the gospel, all of the 5,000 plus ethnic groups can, through Jesus, be heirs together with Israel. So all of the inheritance that was on one little nation through Jesus, the lid's been taken off, and we go, oh, wow, this is for us as well. It wasn't just for one nation, it was for everybody. Heirs together with Israel, members together of one body. And so in our church family here, 63 different nationalities, we have people from Israel here, from Jewish background. We also have people at Bayside Church who are Palestinian. And in Jesus, they love one another. And 63 other nationalities. And even more than that, in the body of Christ, all around the world, 5,000 plus ethnicities coming to Jesus and being united together. It's about inclusion. It was a mystery which has now been revealed. We're members together of one body, and then we're sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. Theologian Albert Barnes puts it this way: Christianity has no hidden truths for a part only of its friends. It has no reserved doctrines. It has no truths to be entrusted only to a sacred priesthood. Its doctrines are to be published to the wide world, and every follower of Christ is to be a partaker of all the benefits of the truths which Christ has revealed. And then in the final part of this chapter, and I'll finish with this, Paul prays that this revelation becomes transforming in each of our lives. And Paul does this so often, and it's as I shared when I preached on part one of this. We can listen to this teaching. We can have a mental understanding of this doctrine, but it has to become revelation in our lives. And so after Paul is taught on this, he always prays. This is amazing truth, but I don't want people just having it in their head. I want them having it in their hearts, so that it will change their lives and through them impact the lives of others. And so let's read this amazing prayer, verses 14 to 21. Let's all look at this together. He says, for this reason, and he's talking about this mystery, because for this reason, because Jew and Gentile, all the ethnicities of the world, because they're all included in Jesus Christ, he says, this is my response. I kneel before the Father. He is overwhelmed by this incredible truth. He's just going to kneel down, which is a wonderful posture of prayer. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. The word strengthen there means to reinforce. So our strength is only so limited, isn't it? And so there are times where we're feeling weak. God wants to reinforce his strength with ours. And that's Paul's prayer. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. I want you to notice how many times he uses the word together in this passage. You know, this is not just about me and Jesus or you and Jesus. This is doing it together as a community of people, that we might have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh, wow. I would love each and every one of you, please, to meditate on this prayer during the week. And because there's such a richness of language here, such amazing truth. And I want you to think of those things, that we might know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. That's almost a contradiction of terms, isn't it? That's one of the paradoxes in the Bible. How do you know something that surpasses knowledge? But I believe that through the Spirit, and that's what he's praying here, that through revelation of the Holy Spirit, we can start to get maybe just a little more of a glimpse. Because church, I don't know about you, but I'll speak for myself here. Sometimes I have such a lacking revelation of how much God really loves me. Sometimes I get so hung up on my inconsistencies and weaknesses and failings, and I think, my goodness, can God really love me despite that stuff? But when I start to read this, I'm thinking, yes, he does. That I might know something of his love that surpasses knowledge. Maybe you just make that your prayer this week in your quiet time. God, would you give me maybe just a little more glimpse of how much you love me? But may it not stop there. God, may you give me a bit more of a glimpse of how much you love others. Even that annoying person at work. Or those people that pinch your car parking space at Southland. Or your kids. Because sometimes you need that revelation. As a parent, am I right? Yes. Come on. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Really? So in worship times like we had tonight, where the Spirit of God starts to rise up on the inside of us and we sense his presence, but there's more. That's why I love our refresh services, because I'm not interested in a little dabble do. I want to be filled, like it says here, to the measure of all the fullness of God. You mean we could live that way? Yes. Wow. I want to just demonstrate something as I finish. And I'll pull this over. We have the whiteboard marker. Oh, yeah, there it is. I'm hoping everyone can see that, but if we can get a camera on this, I want to demonstrate something to you from these last few verses, because it's talking about the love of God, and it says here, I pray that you may be rooted and established in love. And so the picture here is of roots of a plant going deep into the love of God and then us being established in that love. That's how we're to live. Live in love. And then he says here that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Think about that for a moment. And so how wide is the love of Christ? So it goes, it's wide. Okay, I'll try and make that a little bit more. Let's block that in so you can see it. Can you see that okay? All right, so his love is wide, okay? And I've got arrows because it's so wide. It's wider than, God's love is wider than the whiteboard. And I'm so glad. But it's also long. Okay. And it's also high. And it's also deep. And I want you to see that, because when you see the answer to this prayer, you see exactly where you are in the love of God. Right in the center of his love. And that is Paul's prayer. And that is the mystery that has been revealed. That is that smell that you receive as you're reading the Old Testament and you get into the New and the lid is taken off and you see the amazing things that God has dished up for us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, I thank you for your word, so much in this. And I pray, even as Paul prayed, that out of your glorious riches, that you would strengthen us as a church community with power through your Spirit in the inside of us, Lord God, so that Jesus may dwell in our hearts through faith. I pray that we will be rooted and established in love, and that we would have power together as a community with all of God's people to grasp how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ. We might know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's just remain bowed in his presence. I want to give opportunity right now for anyone who has never received God's love through Jesus. Maybe you've had a hint of it in the past. You've resonated maybe with the illustration that I used of walking into a house and you smell something. Maybe you've been kind of buzzing around Christianity for a little while and you go, that's not too bad. But tonight I've taken the lid off for you and you're saying, I really want to partake of that. I want what these people are having. If that's you, I want you just to raise your hand right where you're seated. Not going to embarrass you in any way. I want to give you an opportunity tonight, together with all of God's people, to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour and your friend. I'm going to ask one more time, anyone at all, you just raise your hand up nice and high. So Father, I just pray for anyone in here or anyone watching by live stream that is beginning to experience something of your love. And I pray, I thank you that they're connecting with you through us as a local church. And I pray that you will watch over them and keep them safe and reveal yourself to them. May they know the truth of your love for them. Bring them to yourself, Lord, at the right time and in the right place. I pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.